Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will all sing together to open this morning's service with the singing of Psalter 102, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. Psalter 102, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning you can find in the prophet Hosea chapter 13. Imagine to you Hosea chapter 13. But before we will listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Hosea chapter 13. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pastures, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the coal of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou sayest, give me a king and princes? I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, her sin is hid. The sores of a travailing woman shall come upon him, He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth, on this first day of the week, on this beautiful morning in thy creation, in thy long-suffering patience and goodness and mercy, we may yet be in the land of the living, in the time of grace. We may yet again enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. And Lord, we have heard the law, and we have heard the gospel, and we beg and pray thee that thou would bless thy word on today, on this first day of the week, on thy day, when thou art especially pleased to work by word and spirit to gather sinners, that thy kingdom may come, that more may be born again, and that more may be gathered unto that only shepherd and be under his wings, as that only place of refuge from that well-deserved wrath of God. Lord, thou hast spoken again in this past week, because also among us there is a mourning family. Remember them. Remember those who mourn because of the loss, the passing away of a mother, a grandmother. But remember all in the congregation who are mourning, of different relatives, of children, of a husband, a wife. Remember the widows. Remember those who have lost a friend. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, we pray and ask thee that thou would sanctify these callings to our heart. Not that we'd only be a little moved, but that we may be convicted and convinced that the wages of sin is death. And there is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. And when we die, we must stand before thee to give an account of our whole life. That we must stand before thee, our Creator, that almighty, infinite, holy God, who is too pure to look upon sin. And Lord, wilt thou teach us that we are sin, from head to toe, within and without, that we have ruined ourselves, that we have destroyed ourselves, that we are not only sick, but that we are dead by nature in sins and trespasses, and that thou art right and just to demand of us perfection, but that it's all sin. Oh, wilt thou teach us that there's only one answer, that there will be only one reality when we stand before thee because of who we are, and that is that we must be cast away. But Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. May we not only hear of the law, would not only sinners be convicted and convinced of their sins, and that they die to self, and that they cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" That they become a lost publican, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But that thou would also reveal that only way back to thee. That thou would reveal that only one who can help lost, ruined sinners, Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come, accompany thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit, and give that sinners who know the truth in their mind and who agree with it become lost, become guilty, become who they really truly are. Oh Lord, we beg thee, so many can be so comfortably lost, even agreeing with the doctrines, and yet living on for their own account, without any urgency, without any great need, comfortably lost. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come then irresistibly, powerfully, may it be in this morning, and that lost sinners become lost sinners before thee, a holy and just God. But remember also those who have been awakened, who've been made alive by that irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, and who can find no rest. Oh, lead them to that only place of rest that is in thee through thy Son. Remember those who have been awakened and are searching a way to be right with God, and yet they still try to find things within. May it be all come to a dead end, and that they may hear in this morning that there is help laid upon one who is mighty, who is able to help to save wretched, vile, unworthy, hell-worthy sinners. O Lord, we beg thee then, give opening to preach, give the unction of the Holy Spirit, and accompany thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit, that enemies may become lost, that thou would take away all the weapons of resistance, and that thou would conquer hearts, take away hearts of stone, give hearts of flesh, give hearts that would begin to hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God, hearts that confess their sin of who they are, that it becomes all their guilt. Lord, we beg thee then, have mercy on us. Do not pass us by as thou rightly could. And Lord, we pray then that as thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou hast promised that thou would be in their midst. Lord, come among us. Lord, without thy presence, without thy grace, without the work of the Holy Spirit, then it's all empty. It's all form, custom. There will be no breaking of the hearts, no confessing of sin, no urgency, no hunger for thee, no blessings, no food, no true worship. And so we beg thee for thy honor, for thy glory, Lord, come among us, but also for the comfort of poor perishing sinners. O Lord, teach us of that only comfort in life, in death, that how great my sins and miseries are, of who I am as that wretch before thee, but also of that only way of deliverance through thy dear Son. O, may there be a little taste of thy mercy, of thy grace, of thy goodness through the wounds, through the righteousness of thy dear Son for poor needy sinners in this morning, that they may have that true joy that no one else can give us, that the world cannot give us, but that true, profound joy that only is found in thee, in a triune God, through the Father, through the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee then, have mercy upon us. Come among us. Give a blessing on thy precious word to perishing sinners. Help the children to listen, teenagers, adults, older ones. Help that it may be a message, a simple message, a message according to thy word of death in Adam and life in Christ. Oh, may it be that sinners may be held before thee and become guilty, and that guilty sinners may also be brought unto that only Savior. Oh, that we may hear of him also, of that one of whom thou hast laid help upon, which is almighty and able to save to the uttermost. Lord, give much prayer. Cast out Satan. Take away all that would distract us in preaching, but also in listening. And we pray that hearts may be prepared by thy work of thy Spirit, like that good soil that the seed is sown may bring forth fruits of repentance and of faith. Lord, we ask thee to remember the whole congregation. Thou knowest each heart, each person, how it is, not only with all our cares and needs for this life, but also for our soul. Oh, may we see it and feel it and know it, so lost, all lost. Oh, give urgency. Give that there may be that true seeking, that seeking thee with the whole heart. Lord, by nature we confess there is no seeking of thee. We only seek everything of this world and for self, for our own honor, for our own glory, for our own pleasure. Come then, renew hearts. But remember also all thy dear people. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts also. Maybe in the past they had a taste of the wonders and the mercy of the grace of God through the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And now their hearts are cold and hard. Oh, may they see it's their guilt. May they see there is help in one who is mighty, able to renew, that wonders of thy grace in their hearts bring them also again to repentance, to confess, and to flee unto thee. Lord, we beg thee that through thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be bread for the hungry. Make us hungry and feed us, Lord, with that bread of life. Lord, we beg thee then that thy kingdom may come here in the hearts of sinners, in our families, in this congregation, in the nation, and throughout the world. Lord, bless the preaching of thy precious word, and thy word says it's through the foolishness of preaching, that thou wilt save thy dear people by grace, by faith, in the only Savior, thy dear Son. Oh, bless then thy word, that sheep may be gathered into that fold, and that they may be fed by him, that good shepherd. Oh, that thy sheep may hear thy voice, and that they may follow thee, and have a heart that hates sin and loves righteousness and longs for thee, for visit. Come, Lord, speak and say, I am thy salvation. What a wonder it would be. What peace, what joy would fill our hearts of sinners who only deserve wrath and indignation because of all our sins. Lord, we pray that thou would then bless all mission work among Jew and Gentile. Lord, help each one of thy servants throughout the entire world. Lord, we're sons of Adam, sons of men. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Give opening, give a blessing, and give that faithfulness to thy word, that we would not fear man, but that we may proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and that the people may hear it's a message. It's a message of the word of God, and that they may hear, and that it may enter into their minds and to enlighten who they are, who thou art, but also that it may go deep into their hearts, that it may bring forth fruit. Lord, have mercy. Remember also the work of thy word and of thy kingdom that may be done in Bolivia. Help thy servants there. Remember Pastor Marco. Remember the elders and the deacons, the church workers. Help them and their families. Help also that couple who is there to study the language. Make it an easy task. And that at thy time also they may be used to share thy precious word in the Spanish language among the Bolivian people. Lord, we beg and ask thee that thou would provide also a church worker for Peru, a man of thy choosing, a man who has thy grace, and that thou would equip also to lead that little group there. Remember them, Lord. Guide them and lead them by thy word and by thy Spirit. Lord, we ask thee to remember also the persecuted church, thy dear people who suffer because of thy name's sake, for the name of that only Savior. Uphold them, help them, Lord, and care for them day by day. And may we see the great privilege that we have, that we may come together in thy house freely to worship thee. Lord, remember also in this week, as it again the season of instruction through school, remember Rehoboth Christian School, remember the instruction also that may be given in our homes. Bless it, Lord. Give God-fearing parents to teach children. Give God-fearing teachers to teach the children. And Lord, we beg thee, richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that children, that boys and girls, that teenagers may be born again, come to see who they are, and have an urgency to be reconciled with thee, an almighty and holy God, and reveal that only way through thy dear Son. Lord, give them all that is needed to the board, but also to the bus drivers, as they bring the children to school and home again, give safety and guidance. Lord, we beg, have mercy. We deserve nothing, because as a congregation and a denomination, we send everything away. Lord, we pray then, remember all thy servants, help. Help those who are getting older and experiencing the breaking down of the body, but also of the mind. Remember those who are sick, those who maybe have not been able to preach for a long time. Lord, help. Remember also Reverend Verhoef, who now waits at the end of the treatments for the results. Lord, we beg thee that it may have been blessed for his body, that he may yet be used as an instrument in thy hand, in his family, in the congregation in St. Catherine's, but also in our denomination, also as an instructor in the theological school. But Lord, may it also have been a blessing for his soul, that he may say it was good for me to be afflicted. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Pass us not by. Give an undeserved blessing in thy house upon thy precious word, and that we may go home, that we may say it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Lord, we deserve nothing because of all our sin, because of all our iniquities, because of our original sin, of our deep fall, but also of our actual sins, that we sin against thee daily in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. O Lord, hear us, look upon us, answer us, visit us through thy dear Son, in whose name we pray, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We will continue now this morning's worship service with singing from Psalter 112, all four stanzas. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known, thy truth and faithfulness displayed, thy loving kindness shown. Psalter 112, all stanzas, and the collections for this morning is the first for the church, and the second for the North American General Mission Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, a life of addictions is a life of self-destruction. And maybe you've seen people, maybe in town, maybe in your own family, addicted to drugs, to alcohol. What sadness, what a life, what pity of those who are addicted to such things. And we say it's their choice, it's their fault, it's their guilt, and it is. They choose to use those things which destroy their lives. And we should pray for them and have compassion on them and beg that the Lord would deliver them from such powers of addiction. But my friend, you also by nature have an addiction. You have an addiction of sin. And Job says that we drink iniquity like water. By nature, we live a life of self-destruction by our sin against God. Have you seen this in yourself? Have you seen that you have destroyed yourselves and that you are destroying yourself with your sin against a holy God? God made you and I perfect in His image. And we have rebelled against Him and perished, destroyed ourselves. But also with our own actual sins, we keep destroying ourselves. We read in Proverbs 8, verse 36, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." So those that sin against me wrongeth. What does that mean? That means that you abuse yourselves, that you destroy your own self. And we read, those that sin against me and also hate me love death. So by wronging your soul, by sinning, and by hating God, we bring self-destruction upon ourselves. And you heard the word of God read to you again this morning. The law and the word of God. From one of the minor prophets, Hosea. A short, small Bible book. Why is it minor? Is it less important? No. It's a shorter message. But it has a powerful, short message. A short, powerful message to the people of Israel, but also to us today. Hosea was a prophet of God, called to work among the 10 northern tribes, known as Israel, but also known as Ephraim, as we see in Hosea 13, verse 1. Ephraim. His name has a very beautiful meaning. His name means salvation. Salvation. And Hosea, in his life, was called by God to marry an unfaithful woman, a harlot, Gomer. And some say this was real, and some say this was actually just an illustration. But that doesn't matter. We won't dwell on that. The message stays the same. By this life of Hosea, by this picture, whether it was real or not, there is a message to the unfaithful people of Israel that by their sin they were destroying themselves. God had separated them from the world. God had poured so many blessings upon them, but they were destroying themselves as spiritual adulterers. And so the Lord brings a message through Hosea to this people. This very people that destroyed themselves. And he brings a message to you and me, us who have destroyed ourselves. A message from his word, which we will dwell on this morning. Hosea 13, verse 9. Hosea 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. So in this verse, we read two grand statements. the complete ruin of man, that he has ruined himself completely, and the second part, that salvation is completely of God. And these two doctrines work together for the salvation of sinners, that thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And congregation, until we understand something really true who we are, and that we have destroyed ourselves, we will never ever look for help to be delivered from help from above, from help outside, one who can help such a self-destroyed, ruined sinner. And my prayer is that as we consider how Israel has destroyed itself, how Canada has destroyed itself, and we are part of it, but also how you and I have destroyed ourselves, that the Holy Spirit would convince and convict that we see ourselves as a completely corrupt, ruined, irreparable sinner. And that when we hear that second part, maybe for the first time, or by renewal, that we may be drawn, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may see it. We may see him who has help, almighty help to save destroyed sinners. So the theme this morning is divine help for self-destroyed sinners. Divine help for self-destroyed sinners. First, we will consider self-destroyed sinners. We read that in the first part of the text. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. And we will first consider Israel, how they have destroyed herself. And it's a picture of you and I. I'll explain that. And then we'll come closer to home. Canada, we've destroyed us. And then we'll even come closer to home. You and I. And then, with the Lord's help, we will also consider divine help. Divine help, the second thought. Divine help for self-destroyed sinners. But in me is thine help. Who is speaking? What kind of help is it? For whom? Well, may the Lord bless his word. And so, divine help for self-destroyed sinners. Our first thought, self-destroyed sinners. Do you resist this message? Do you say, do we need to hear this morning? Well, we read in the Word of God, which he speaks to Israel, and he speaks to us today, the living Word of God, in verse 13. Hosea 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. What does it mean? The Lord, you hear the pain. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. What does it mean? They have destroyed themselves. What does that word mean? That word means that they have corrupted themselves. They have ruined themselves. They have damaged themselves so deeply that they are absolutely irreparable. For example, children, you see a car accident. That beautiful car had an accident, and it's become so twisted and so damaged, it's absolutely, completely destroyed. It's totaled. It's irreparable. Israel destroyed themselves. How did they become so destroyed? How did they destroy themselves? How did they make themselves so completely ruined, irreparable from the side of man? Well, you say, first, which is true, they were descendants of Adam. They are also fallen creatures. They're not sick. No, they're dead in sins and trespasses. So that's how they originally have destroyed themselves, as you and I have, in Adam. And the Lord yet chose Ephraim. He yet chose Israel. Out of all the nations, all the people on the planet Earth, he has chosen Ephraim. We read in Hosea 11, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. That was God's goodness and mercy to these destroyed sinners. And then we read in the first verse, when Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. What does that mean? Well, Ephraim, speaking of those 10 tribes, also named for them, Israel, that he was a mighty tribe. That when he spoke, people listened. and that he was like a prince among Israel in those 10 tribes. He was revered, he was respected, and that might be some of them that had that true tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, but also that the Lord had given them much wisdom. But then we read in that verse a little word. So that was a picture of them. But then we read, but. Look in your Bible. Hosea 13 verse 1. But when he offended in Baal, he died. So that good Ephraim died. By what? By their sins. They destroyed themselves. They lost all that glory. They lost it in paradise, but they lost it again, if you may say it that way, even deeper, in a deeper way. They became as a dead man, we read. No more glory. Miserable, wretches, not just sick, no, dead. That's a picture of you and I also, by our sin. But how did Israel destroy themselves? Those fallen sons of Adam who were separated, yet they continued to destroy themselves. How? What was their great sin? Idolatry. Let's look back for a moment through Hosea of how Israel has destroyed themselves. And remember, it's a picture of you and I, which I will explain. So first, in Hosea 2, we read how they took the gifts of God and they used them to sacrifice to idols. They took the gifts of the Almighty God and they sacrificed them to dead images, to gods. What sin? What destruction of their souls? Hosea 4, we read of them swearing, lying, murdering, adultery. They destroyed themselves by these sins. How else? Hosea 9, verse 9. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. So this refers to the time of the judges when every man did what was right in his own eyes. Israel was living, doing what was right in their own eyes. But we also read, as in the days of Gibeah, what happened in Gibeah? What do we read? I believe it's in Judges 19. Well, a Levite, he had a concubine. And those men of Gibeah, vile men, brutally, wickedly, abominably, used her and abused her and caused her death. And that Levite then cut her in pieces and sent her out through the nation. What wickedness, what vileness in Israel, how they destroyed themselves. But now we come to our chapter and we read, but when he offended in Baal, he died. All those sins and the idol worship, bowing to Baal, instead of bowing to God, the Almighty God, they were bowing to a dead God which had no ability to help and was not to be the center of their hearts. And we read in Hosea 9 verse 10, but they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. So they just loved it. They lived for it, serving abominations, wickedness, detestable in the sight of God. He saw his covenant people bowing to those idols. And then we read in Hosea 13, verse 2, and now they sin more and more. They sin daily, sin upon sin upon sin. It got worse and worse and worse. How could it be worse? Well, now they were also kissing the calves. What does that mean? That means they were adoring them, revering them, worshiping them. Worship calves, golden calves. Instead of worshiping God, instead of kissing who? Whom should they be kissing? God's Son, as we read in the beginning of Psalm. Oh, how Israel was destroying themselves. Do you hear why God gave that message to Israel? Oh, Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. How else? Could it get worse? Yes, it was worse. They worshipped Moloch. Moloch. What do we read about Moloch, that god? Jeremiah 32, verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And now listen. To cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Do you know who that god Moloch was? That was a large brass god, a hollow god. And they built him with a hollow so they could put a fire in him. And they would build a fire, and that whole brass god would radiate with heat. And then they would play music. And then they would take their dear little children and place them in the god of Moloch. And they couldn't hear the screaming and the terror because of the drowning out of the music. God's people sacrificing their children to idols. What self-destruction. What wickedness. And what else do we read in this chapter? Verse 6. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. The Lord blessed them, richly blessed them in the land that flowed with milk and honey, and they were exalted. They became proud, and they forgot God. They didn't give credit to everything to God. They weren't worshiping him. It all became self. Self. And God saw his covenant people doing all these wickedness. Do you understand how that cry of pain and accusation came out of the heart and the mouth of God? O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast become so corrupt, so wicked, so irreparable in thyself. He had cared for them so wonderfully, brought them out of Egypt, gave them manna every day through the wilderness. As he says in this chapter, in the wilderness I knew thee. That meant I cared for thee. I deeply cared for thee. They had water. He gave them the law to guide them, to lead them. He gave them the gospel, the sacrifices. He poured all these blessings upon this people, and they destroyed themselves. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. What wickedness against all the goodness. And maybe you're thinking, what a foolish people. What a wicked people. Let's come a little closer. Let's come to Canada now. And yes, we are part of Canada. We can't say it's Canada, no congregation. We are part of Canada. We're citizens of this nation. Could we not put in this text, O Canada, thou hast destroyed thyself. This nation was founded on Christian principles. Now we have cast out God out of the schools, the Ten Commandments, prayer out of schools, out of the government, following our own desires. The Lord has richly blessed this nation, but we have become proud. We give all the credit to ourselves. And we have begun for a long time already ignoring God. What proud, what wickedness. O Canada, we have destroyed ourselves. We break all his commandments every day, and especially on the Lord's Day. We're part of Canada. It's you, it's me also. And now think Israel. They offered their children in that god Moloch, and we say that's horrible. I don't want to hear about it. But congregation, we're just like Israel. Canada, we butcher brutally children in the womb. How many? In 2023, I looked it up, over 100,000 children have been murdered in the womb in Canada. That's part of us. Oh, Canada, we have destroyed ourselves. I think of the institution of marriage. God instituted marriage between one man and one woman. And now we say, no, it's all confusion. It's all wickedness. Two men, two women, or even other strange, wicked ways. God created us male and female. And we say, no, I will choose my son. I won't say he's a boy. I won't say he's a girl. I'll wait till he's older, and then he can choose who he is. What foolishness, what wickedness. Oh, Canada, we have destroyed ourselves. And what about euthanasia? Euthanasia. I had a message the other day that Canada has become a death cult. A nation founded on Christian principle has become a death cult. We kill the old. We kill those who have, we say, special needs. And now even in Parliament is a law coming that teenagers, if they want to end their life, they can do so without their parents' consent, and the parents are only going to be called to pick up the body at the hospital. What wickedness, Canada! You and I are part of this nation. Do we speak out? Do we grieve because of all this wickedness? Or are we quiet and silent and saying it's them? No, we are part of this nation. Do we grieve? Because God's law, all the commandments are trampled upon. God's name is blasphemed. And all the institutions of the Word of God is all thrown aside. Does it grieve you? Does it grieve me? Do we speak out for God's honor, for God's glory, and for our perishing neighbors? O Canada, thou hast destroyed thyself. But let's come a little closer, because it's also you and me, congregation. I may say you may put your name in this verse. Oh, whatever your name is, oh sinner, oh boy, oh girl, adult, older one, thou hast destroyed thyself. Yes, we are also descendants of Adam. We have original sin. We have destroyed ourselves in paradise. But we also destroy ourselves even further, even with our own sin. Have you ever come to that place as a guilty, destroyed, lost sinner? Lord, I have destroyed myself. I have. No more mitigating the causes. No more excuses. Lord, I'm guilty. I have done it. We are like Israel, congregation. They were so blessed. And you and I are so blessed among all the other people on this earth. Because God has also, in his mercy, in his providence, separated us to be under the means of grace, under the administration of the covenant of grace. We hear his law. We hear his gospel. The Lord has poured so much goodness upon us. But where do you go? Where do you go with your baptized forehead? Where do you go? Do you go to places of sin? The Israelites went to places of sins. God put his name upon them. And you and I, are you like Israel? Are you destroying yourselves by going to places of sin? God sees it. Israel was trying to serve God to quiet their conscience because they knew better. And yet they continued serving the idols. Formal Christianity, a name, but no heart. With the lips, but their heart was far from God. Is that still you? You're destroying yourself with such hypocrisy, with such wickedness, living a life with a name, but no heart. Israel was blessed in a land that flowed with milk and honey. And we have been so blessed in Canada. You and I live like kings. We live like kings every day. You say, really? Yes, go look in other parts of the world. Maybe even in town. You see those homeless people? We're so blessed. But what do we do with our gifts? Do we just use it all for self? For our own pleasures? For sins? We are destroying ourselves. Israel was warned so many times. The Lord sent prophet after prophet after prophet. Repent, repent, repent. But they hardened their hearts and they continued in their sin. How many times have you heard earnestly and sincerely from the Word of God? Turn ye, turn ye, for why will ye die? I have no pleasure in your death. You heard it. Maybe it pricked you a little. Maybe moved you a little. You went home, and in the week you just carried on. Hardening your heart, you are destroying yourselves. But what sin? What is your bosom sin? What sin are you quietly holding on to? What sin do you not want to let go? Maybe you feel you must, but you want to hold on to it. One leak in the boat will sink the whole ship congregation. Judas sunk with that love for money. He sunk. He lived with the Lord Jesus Christ. You could say he was in church every day. He heard all the words, but he hardened his heart. He loved his little sin of money more than God. He destroyed himself. What commandment must I lay before you? And no, I cannot lay all the Ten Commandments, but what commandment must I lay before you that you are persisting in? And you know it. Yes, you know it. You feel it, but you continue in it. What sin? Adultery? Disobedience to parents? To authorities? Breaking the Lord's Day? Maybe come to church, yet breaking the Lord's Day. What other sin? The seventh commandment? God sees everything, congregation. He sees how you live in your home, fathers. He sees how you live in your home, men, especially you, men, boys, how you live with your other in the house. He sees. He sees how you use your cell phone, internet, sin, wickedness. Are you holding on to sin? Are you living in sin? The Lord says today, repent. You are destroying yourselves. But how do we especially destroy ourselves? The Lord comes in the gospel. He presents that only way of life, only through his dear son. And by wickedness and by pride, we continue on our own life and we reject him. And we can even use the truths of the doctrines to defend ourselves. But you cannot defend yourselves. The Lord comes in the gospel. And he calls to give you your heart, to follow him, to seek everything of him. But we only continue reject him. Is that you yet? Living for self? Children, how do you and I destroy ourselves? By our sin. By our wickedness, by disobedience to God, by disobedience to the law, by disobedience to the gospel. Do you neglect prayer, congregation? You are destroying yourself. Do you neglect to read the word of God faithfully every day? I say this with pain, but I met with some of you. And I ask you, what do you do for daily devotions? And you're quiet. And you have to be honest. You don't even read the word of God personally every day. Congregation, God gave you his word to read for the best of your soul. And by neglecting his precious word that he gives you, you are destroying yourselves. Do you listen on Sunday, go home? And then you just leave all the word behind? You don't meditate upon it? It doesn't bring you on your word, on your knees before God? You are destroying yourselves. My prayer is that this morning, by the word of God that you see and convinced and convicted, that you have destroyed yourself, that you become guilty, that you see that you're irreparably lost in the sight of God. Boston says, a proper sense of your irreparable ruined state and your natural inability and the powerlessness of the depraved human nature to truly, properly have a real sense of this would be a step towards true deliverance. Congregation, no knowledge of sin, no need of a Savior, no seeing that you have destroyed yourselves makes no room for that precious word that we will hear in our second point. God comes this morning. O Israel, O Canada, no, O sinner. O sinner, thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast become completely corrupt, ruined, destroyed. I made you so good. I made you in my image to live for my honor, for my glory, doing this and loving your neighbor every day. But you and I, by our fall and by our actual sins, have destroyed ourselves. Instead of living for the honor and the glory of God, we live for our own honor, for our own glory. And we may do this in a very pious way, or we may do this in a very worldly way, but we're lost, self-destroyed. Has this become a reality in your heart and in your life? Has it become a sorrow? Has it become a pain? Has it become a true confession? Lord, I heard, O sinner, thou hast destroyed thyself. And is your response, Lord, it's my guilt. I have destroyed myself. And what do those recipients of grace that learn the truth of this deep in their hearts, what do they confess? What do they pray? Well, open your Bible, please, to Psalm 40. We read their petitions of self-destroyed sinners. Psalm 40. And we'll read verses 11 through 13. And do you know this? Has this become true? Psalm 40, verse 11 through 13. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Is that you? Is that your heart? Do you hear an own echo of your own heart that you are evil, sin, lost, self-destroyed, and need deliverance and are crying for help? Will the Lord hear such self-destroyed sinners who willingly destroy themselves? Will he hear? Will he help? Well, let's sing first from the Psalm, Psalter 110. Stanzas 1 and 2. 110, stanzas 1 and 2, and we'll do that standing. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. And what follows? 110, stanzas 1 and 2. divine help for self-destroyed sinners. God, the covenant faithful Jehovah, saw his people Israel committing such wickedness, how they destroyed themselves. And he says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. And he sees you, and he sees me. And he says, O sinner, thou hast destroyed thyself. And what do they deserve? What do such self-destroying sinners deserve? They only deserve death and wrath. And Hosea now gives a picture. In verse 3, for example, he gives a picture through the words of God that they deserve only death. He gives them a picture. How such self-destroyed sinners only deserve sudden, immediately death. He pictures a morning cloud. You see a cloud in the morning, a little cloud, and you hope for rain, but the sun comes up and it's gone. It's suddenly gone. He speaks about the early dew. The sun comes up and it's gone. It was there, suddenly gone, suddenly taken away. He gives a picture of chaff, a little wind, and it's blown away, gone. Smoke coming out of a chimney, a little wind, and it's gone. He's teaching these people, self-destroyed sinners, of that they are worthy because of all their sins, that God would at any moment take them away. But what else? He also shows God's wrath upon such self-destroyed sinners. How? Through verse 7 and 8, through the picture of wild, cruel beasts, of a lion which would tear you in pieces, of a leopard stalking and coming, suddenly to pounce and to kill, of a bear who lost her young, which is a very fierce animal, would tear you to pieces, and a lion which would eat you. Hosea is teaching them they only deserve death, and that by their self-destruction they are under the wrath of God. And those who learn, by God's grace, they have destroyed themselves, say, Amen. I only deserve death. I only deserve the wrath of God. It becomes real. It becomes real that at any moment God could take their life away. Any moment they'd have to stand before God, that God against whom they have sinned, whom they destroyed themselves in his sight, and all they would receive is wrath. They're convinced and convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit of their sin, but also who God is and what they deserve. Why? Why does the Lord work this way with the Holy Spirit by the law to convict of sin that they destroyed themselves? Why does he convict them of wrath, of justice, and of sinfulness? To make room for a precious announcement, to make room for another one, that their hearts would be opened, that they long to be delivered, that they long to be reconciled, that they need another one. To make room for that only message of the precious gospel also to these Israelites. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Destroyed thyself. And now in this chapter, between 8 and 9, maybe you don't see it, but there's a pause. How did Ephraim respond? We don't read anything of how Ephraim responded. And then comes verse 9. But first I want to speak about you. You who've been convicted and convinced that you could die any moment and it'll be right, that you're under wrath, that you destroyed yourselves. What do we often try to foolishly, because of our pride and our rebellion, instead of fleeing to God, deliver me, fleeing to that only Savior, what do we try to do? Church of God, what have you tried to do, and what are you still trying to do? Patience, Lord. I will pay. I will fix it up. I will repair myself. I will make it better. I will clean myself up. And what do they experience? What have you experienced, self-destroyed sinner? You who are trying to get yourself better, to find favor with God? Is it getting better? Are you repairing yourself? Is it getting fixed? what do they find? It only gets worse. No, not worse. It becomes absolutely destroyed. It becomes absolutely irreparable from the side of that self-destroyed sinner. And now the second part of that text. Oh, God would be right if it was just a period, nothing more. Oh, Israel, oh, sinner, thou hast destroyed this house. But no, now we hear of hope. Hope from another. Hope from above. Hope from outside. One who says, but in me is thine help. The gospel message. But in me is thine help. He's speaking exactly to the ones who have self-destroyed themselves. What mercy, what goodness, what love, what compassion. In me is thine help. Do you hear it? Perishing, self-destroyed sinner, convicted of your sin, of your guilt, of your wickedness, that it's you, and you're just absolutely irreparable. You can't make one step to make yourself better. Listen, he says this morning, in me is thy help. What merciful news, congregation. What good news. What precious news. What news of the gospel to those who say, I've only sinned everything away. I'm a spiritual adulterer. I've broken all the commandments. I've completely destroyed myself. I've destroyed myself in paradise, but I've continually destroyed myself with my life, with my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my affections. It's all irreparable. It's all corrupt. And then to hear, and may you hear it by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, in me is thine help. In me is thine help. What do we deserve to hear? Away with you. Condemnation, eternal death, eternal wrath. I'm finished. No more mercy, no more love, no more compassion. But these exactly horrible, self-destroyed, wicked, irreparable sinners, he says to them, in me is thine help. Who is speaking? In whom is help for such self-destroyed sinners? Who is able to help you, self-destroyed sinner? Who? What do we read in verse 4? Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no other God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. Who's speaking? That Savior who echoes his voice also in Isaiah 43 verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Who is able, who is willing, and who will help self-destroyed sinners? That Almighty God, that Creator of the heavens and of the earth, that only Savior. We read in Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Help in the Almighty Creator. There's no one that's mightier than him. He's the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. He has the power to save, to help self-destroyed sinners. Help exactly, perfectly, suitable, exactly to those who have destroyed themselves. O Israel, O sinner, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Maybe you say, for me? For such a wretch? For such a willing, self-destroyed sinner? Yes, but in me is thine help. Notice we don't read. It does not say, with me is thine help. No, in me. What does that mean? What does that tell you? He's not a helping Savior. He's a complete Savior. It's all in me. Seek it all in me, because it can only be found in me. I am able to help you exactly to your needs. I'm able to help you, and you cannot help yourself at all. It's all in me. He's a complete, full Savior for completely self-destroyed, wicked, abominable sinners. And listen, it does not say, in the Lord is thine help. No, we read a beautiful pronoun. In me. What does that tell us? That means he comes so close. It's not pointing to a distance. In the Lord, yes, that's wonderful. That'd be so great to hear. In the Lord is thine help. But he says, in me, he comes close. He comes nearby. He comes nearby that sinner in that pit that he brought himself, unable to lift him up. In me. He wants to speak to you. In me. In me is thine help. Help for helpless ones. What kindness, what compassion, what mercy, what love. And that love began in eternity. And that love will never break. It will keep to eternity. In me is thine help, self-destroyed sinner. Sinner who's been made alive. Sinner who again destroys themselves with sin and wickedness because of your flesh. In me is thine help. And we read of that compassionate love of eternity in Hosea 11, verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? And that's pictured as that spiritual, chosen, beloved people. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee up, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My repentance are kindled together. My heart is turned within me for that self-destroyed sinner. The Lord's heart is moved with compassion, like the Lord Jesus Christ with that leper. He was moved with compassion, and that compassion, that love, began in eternity. And that love did not stop. That love did not come to an end, even though that people whom he eternally loved out of his sovereign good pleasure would absolutely destroy themselves. Yet, he continues to love them. Do you hear it? In me is thine help. In me. In none other. Don't look anywhere else. Don't look inside anymore. Don't look inside anymore. He's calling. In me. He wants to draw those poor sinners to look to him. That their only answer would be, with those arms outstretched, Lord, save me. Save me. I cannot save myself anymore. I cannot make it better anymore. It's only worse from my side. That they would hear and their response would be looking to him, crying to him, begging, help me. Take me by heart. Take me by hand. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Lord, bring me. Help me. Is that your cry? He speaks this morning, in me is thine help. And Jesus Christ is mighty. He's able to help. He's that almighty Savior. There is no case too hopeless. Sometimes we say it, that drug addict, it's hopeless. I said that with my brother. But the Lord freed him. I could witness his wedding. He has the power, but not only with those physical addictions, but he has the power to deliver from sin, from Satan, from world, and from your own wicked flesh. We read of him in Psalm 89, verse 19, then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Jesus Christ is that almighty, powerful Savior, able to help perishing sinners. But how is it possible that an infinite holy God who sees people like you and me that have been so blessed, Christian home, Christian church, Christian school, heard his word so many times, and yet they willfully destroy themselves. How can he that's of pure of eyes yet be willing to help such sinners? How is that possible, congregation? How is it possible? There's only one answer, and that's through one who humbled himself, who came to this earth, who humbled himself to come in the flesh, to live on this earth, who came to keep the law. No, he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law for transgressors. But he came so low, he even became willing to die, as we hope to hear tonight. Open your Bible again, please, to Psalm 22. Here we hear of one who cried for help and there was none to deliver. Let's read from Psalm 22 of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he was on the cross. It's only possible for him. We read in Psalm 22, verse 1 and 2. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. And then we read further in that chapter, in verse 16 through 19. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. And there was none to help him. There was none to deliver him. Why? Why? Why did he give himself even to that place? And here we hear in the psalm him crying to his father, but the father turned his face away, because he who knew no sin, who didn't destroy himself, who lived perfectly his whole life, who did everything right and good, he gave himself to be the Lamb of God. Why? So that Father, that infinitely pure Father, can help those who have destroyed themselves. What wonders of grace through God the Father, through his Son. Oh, may we taste it, not only convicted of our self-destruction, but may we also taste it, that in me is thine help. Poor, needy, self-destroyed, irreparable sinner, do you have none to help you? None? Has it come to an end? None to help? Are you crying and waiting? He says in Psalm 72, verse 12, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Cry to him. Beg him. Beg him for a prayer. Beg him for urgency, and that you cannot let him go until he blesses you. And sheep, lambs, how is it in your heart? Have you tasted a little something? Did he help you? Did he brought you out of that pit? And you put you on that rock and you could see, how is it today? Is it all hard again? Hard? And you're wondering, where is he? Where is he whom my soul loveth? Have you destroyed that joy? Yes, you have. It's your guilt by sin, as David did. We destroy that peace, that joy of salvation, again by our sin, by our sin. Oh, then repent and do as Hosea says in the next chapter. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Thy help is in me. Live close to him, because he says, without me you can do nothing. And he will. He will be a helper. And we read that again and again also in Hosea 13, verse 10. I will be their king. He will conquer their hearts. Verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. He will do it. He will ransom them. I will deliver them from death, and they will receive life. Hosea 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And so I'd like to close with a few verses from Psalm 115, 9 through 11. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, Trust in the Lord, for He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, may arrows have been shot out this morning that sinners may be convinced and convicted of their sin. That sinners who acknowledge all the truth and even agree with it and confess it become lost. That miserable sinners become lost, miserable sinners, self-destroyed sinners. But also those poor ones who have been convicted and convinced and can find no helper may hear it. In me is thine help. Lord, bless thy word richly to the glory of thy name and to the comfort of poor and needy sinners. Lord, we acknowledge thee for thy precious word, thy word that can make us wise unto the only way of salvation. And we acknowledge thee for this time in thy house to hear thy word. Lord, bless it. Keep us in this day. Bring us again into thy house tonight. Give much prayer. Give much opening. And bless thy word, Lord, for the glory of thy name and for our eternal comfort. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 92, 1 and 3. Be thou my helper in this strife, O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life, thy spear confront the enemy. Amid the conflict, O my Lord, thy precious promise let me hear. The faithful reassuring word, I am thy Savior, do not fear. 92, stanzas 1 and 3. your congregation to receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.